Okay.
No, it's all going to be edited, so don't worry.
Okay. It's fine. The last one that I did, I just got very slowly drunk, and by the end I wasn't making any sense.
Wasn't that slow when you were listening back?
We ended on what, a neighbour in the Home and Away? Neighbours.
I think everybody was like, I've taken out this next segment because we spoke extensively about Neighbours.
But 20 minutes of Neighbours. And everyone was like, why'd you leave your Neighbours chat? And I was like, you didn't hear it. It's not good.
It was great. Everyone's
was
really
like, it was like 20 minutes ago going, what time was Neighbours on in Ireland?
And then me going, it was on RTÉ too.
But was it on twice a day?
We had Home and Away twice a day, but Neighbours once a day.
Right, okay, yeah, that was the same. I can't remember the difference between the two.
Twice each day, Home and Away.
You get home in the morning and away in the afternoon. doctor, give me the news. I got a
bad case loving you. Hello, welcome to I Hate Doctor Who. It's Christmas, everyone. Nobody's going to acknowledge that they're here until I introduce them.
Hello, it's Christmas!
It's Christmas! So, my name's Richie, and this is a podcast where I take people who don't like, watch, or really engage with Doctor Who, and I make them watch it. I choose an episode and I make them watch it and then see how they feel about it. So, I've got two returning guests have joined me for Christmas 2024. So my first guest was last on I Hate Doctor Who, Christmas 2017.
Wow, was it that long ago?
Yeah, we were recording it on garden furniture on my living room.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
It was creaky.
Yeah.
There we go. Sturdy table.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
Yes, welcome back, Laura Doherty.
Oh, hello. Is that how you say my last name?
Doherty.
That's great.
Could you say it?
I would go for a Doherty.
Doherty. Do I hit the H?
What would the Irish person... Is that a good introduction to the next guest?
Yeah, Doherty.
Doherty.
Yeah.
Doherty
is very
North American, isn't it?
Yeah, like Shannon Doherty.
Doherty.
Yeah.
Doherty, because it sounds like I'm saying dirty in Irish as well.
Doherty.
I'm also joined by a more recent guest and...
Yes?
I was going to say, my partner. more recent guest, Leah Silverlock.
Hello, thanks for having me back.
Agreed to return also.
Yes, sober this time.
So far. It is Christmas.
We're all going to get drunk and say stuff we regret.
I don't regret anything from the last one.
No, I just mean because it's Christmas. In the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, right, okay. I was like, I stand by all of my hatred of that episode that you made me watch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Wow.
Four episodes.
We'll have
to be
in the middle of a family drama. It is Christmas, after all.
Yeah. So Laura, how have you been since 2017?
What's happened in your
life? What's been going on? No, have you had any more engagement with Doctor Who since 2017?
Absolutely none.
Absolutely
how many doctors have we had since then? So we had Jodie...
Peter Capaldi was literally about to regenerate, I think, when it was at Christmas.
Right, so was it Peter into Jodie?
Into Jodie.
Into Shooty.
Yeah. Well, into David Tennant and then into Shooty, sorry.
Of course, obviously.
Sorry.
I went to the Doctor Who exhibition at the National Museum of Scotland.
Oh yeah,
I did go
How
to
was that.
That? It was great. I saw lots of things that I
didn't understand.
I saw a few that I recognised. The Weeping Angel guy or girl. Yeah, the
scariest thing in Doctor Who.
Yeah, that creeped me out a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's very creepy.
To see that, and yeah, like other things where I was like, this seems cool. But that's about the extent of it in 7 years.
A lot of Doctor Who stuff out of context seems a lot cooler than it actually is.
Oh, well, I think after watching these episodes, I think I can fully agree.
Poor Leah has to engage with Doctor Who passively quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah.
You enjoy it sometimes, though.
I do.
Usually if I start watching a classic Doctor Who, 10 minutes in, she'll get up and leave the room.
Yeah.
What's the one that will keep you there? Is there a specific, is there a doctor that will keep you there, or an era?
Probably a Peter Capaldi.
Oh, yeah.
But I do like the Sylvester, I was about to say Sylvester Stallone. what's his name? Michael Sylvester. No, wait.
McCoy?
No, keep going. I've been enjoying this, actually.
McCoy? Is that it?
Sylvester McCoy.
Sylvester McCoy.
I was just thinking of Chris.
His episodes are quite good.
Oh, yeah, it's because I've been watching, yeah, I've been watching a lot of them.
Mainly because you're obsessed with Ace.
I'm not obsessed with Ace. Oh. That's not what I would say.
Yeah, you are.
Wow.
Obsessed.
Keeping tabs on her.
Mm-hmm. His eyes light up whenever she's on screen.
Let's move on from this.
She's Ace.
Can you please remind me of the format of the podcast?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I did say it at the start, but I'll say it again. So, the format of the podcast is that I take people from my life that don't watch Doctor Who, and then I make them watch it, and then we talk about it, and I enjoy a fresh pair of eyes on something that I love. Because obviously I spend quite a lot of my time talking to people who love Doctor Who, and we're generally all saying the same things and having the same points of view. And so it's nice to have someone come in and be like, Richie, I hate this.
Well, but that's good
get
to
ready.
Hear.
Get ready.
That is good to hear.
Yeah, this is the Christmas episode, right?
My first question is, is it a Christmas episode?
It's not a Christmas episode.
That was my first question.
Yeah. Okay.
When I was watching, I was like, why are we watching Christmas episode?
Look, I was kind of... So I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I was trying to figure out what to do for the Christmas episode because there are no original series Christmas stories. Mm-hmm. There's nothing Christmassy. Okay. Anything. So I was trying to think, like, I didn't want to just do a new series Christmas one because I thought it's more interesting to talk about, because the older ones are so much, there's so much more to talk about. And I thought, well, I've got to find something that's got kind of a, maybe like a sort of Christmas TV kind of vibe, maybe, kind of. And I think classic Doctor Who just in general has a bit of a Christmassy TV kind of vibe. And that way that, like, in December, perfectly normal things take on a bit of a, like eating a bit of chocolate in the morning.
What? So that's something we do normally throughout the year.
Yeah.
But at Christmas time,
it feels more special.
Yeah.
It upsets me that you spent a long time, or a lot of time, as you said, thinking about which episode to pick, and then you chose this one.
I know, but...
Oh, wow. I kind of feel a little bit like a couples therapist. Right, Richie, before you respond, why don't we just sit with that for a couple of seconds and think what you did to us?
But, no, there was another reasoning, is I was looking through all the air dates.
Uh-huh.
I was like, so what episodes were on at Christmas?
Okay. Because there were, spoiler, 4 that we had to watch.
Part 1 was on the 28th of December, 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So it was on during the Christmas holidays.
I'll give you that.
Question for Laura.
Okay.
How do you feel about being asked to watch an episode that's actually 4 episodes?
Okay, so at first I was like, rude. But I did have a 4-hour train journey. I guess I had 2 4-hour train journeys within the week that I knew. So I was just like, well, okay, I've got time. And then also I thought, there are 25-minute episodes. So what is a modern day episode, like an hour? So it's just like 1 episode.
It's essentially the same length as a 2-part. Yeah.
So I thought that also
it's
a
very diplomatic. Very diplomatic.
And did Richie let you know that it was 4 episodes?
He did. Yeah.
Oh right.
And when he sent the text message, I was angry. And then when I looked at when I looked at the running times, I calmed down.
Okay.
Also bearing in mind the 4-hour train journey.
Yeah, okay. So that's good. So you did learn a lesson after the last time you tricked me.
Tricked? I mean, I've been doing this for a while and everybody gets the same level of annoyance.
So you just...
It's like watching a film.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But I mean, I always try and say as well, like, I mean, I know we've just watched them all in once, but I do try and say people don't... They weren't made to be tanned in one go.
Yeah, I mean, we had this whole discussion on my last appearance on this show.
In terms of pacing, obviously, it can get a wee bit like...
Yeah, because you need a week to forget. That's why.
It's quite funny knowing that you... I mean, did you literally just watch them?
Like, just
now.
That's why the vibe was so off when you arrived.
Oh,
because we'd just finished. And we were like... Right, okay.
Leah's just back from New York as well, so she's also jet lagged.
It's almost like you just regenerated and you're trying to make sense of...
Exactly.
Where, who you are.
A new face materializes for the Doctor to fight a new enemy.
A weapon that walks and thinks anthropomorphic.
They force him to go against his prime directive and destroy his mind. You go mad.
And start a nuclear holocaust that would turn this little planet of yours into a radioactive cinder suspended in space.
Humanity must be destroyed. It is evil. Corrupt.
Tom Baker is Doctor Who in Robot next Monday, 11:45.
So, if anyone hasn't figured it out
from
the air dates, where the episode that
I know exactly what this is.
Well, a lot of the audience is going to be like, oh, no, well, apart from it not being the title of the podcast anyway.
Some detective will have deduced it
from the title of the podcast.
But we're so we're looking at the story Robot, which aired from the 28th of December 1974 to the 18th of January 1975.
Woo.
It was the first story in series 12, and it was the very first appearance of Tom Baker, who is kind of like the Doctor to a lot of people.
Is he your one?
No, but he's...
Okay.
But like, he's still... You know, I still give him the credit he's due, you know?
A little bit of reverence.
Yeah. No, I've just got that... It's a bit like if you were a big Queen fan, you wouldn't be like, my favourite song is Bohemian Rhapsody, you know?
Why?
Well, because it's just the one that everybody... Like,
This is the one, you know? This is the real Richard Morgan now exposing himself. He doesn't like what other people like.
I don't want to be obvious like the rest of them.
I'm a real fan. I like the obscure.
It's the one.
You probably hadn't heard of him. My favourite who?
Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone. Yeah.
Michael Sylvester.
I haven't just watched it with you. It's funny when you watch Doctor Who with someone.
Is it funny?
No.
No, it's funny. It's funny when you watch something that you know, you're quite comfortable watching and just happy with. But then when you watch it with someone else, you can feel the energy, and you're like, oh, okay.
Hey, I was pretty good. I was fine.
No, you were good. You were. You didn't complain or anything.
No.
Outwardly. I'm excited to hear what your notes are.
Pen to paper tells a different story.
I feel like we might have had different experiences, maybe. Spoiler.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm intrigued.
Well, if you could describe the episode in one word, how would you describe it?
That's a good question.
Is this your first exposure to, like, old Doctor Who?
No, because my dad's family are fans, so it would be on in the house. So,
right.
And I remember one time, I can't remember if I spoke about this in the last episode or not. Last time I was on, because it was a long time ago.
It was a while.
One time I pulled a muscle in my neck and I couldn't move, and then my family went out to mass and left me with Doctor Who on, but I couldn't move to turn it off, and it was kind of like torture in a way. Is the way that I would describe it, but also I survived.
Okay. Do you have any memory of it? I'm curious to know what episode it was, but you probably don't.
It wasn't this one, but there were some robots going about, maybe Cybermen, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
I did think when we first saw that POV, which also was great and didn't really translate to the actual costume at all. But I did think, oh yes, this is going to be Cybermen.
Oh really?
Because I love Cybermen. And sadly it was not.
Oh.
Also, I put a note about the POV. Mm-hmm. You'd think they'd give the robot better vision.
I know, it was a bit like looking through the glass and like your gran's bathroom door. Which is always what I think every time I see that POV. And also I noticed that when the robot's POV, it manages to move with a lot more finesse.
Yeah.
Well, and I quite enjoyed the hands. yeah. in the POV. I
didn't enjoy the robot's knees as bending as it walked. It was not well acted.
I didn't even notice that.
They clearly hadn't... I guess it's the 70s. They have no exposure to robots, really. But they don't know how to act.
There's no Boston Robotics or...
Yeah.
Just kind of what you've seen in films.
Question. I'm sorry. I know the word. Wait, are you going to ask us questions?
Oh, yeah. How it's so...
No, fire away. If you've got a question, let's do it.
Is K9 a version of K1?
No.
And did Kettle... Okay.
No, I know. I know what you mean, but no, K9 and K1 aren't related, funnily enough.
Wait a minute, what's K1?
K1's
the name of the robot.
Oh, is that the name of it? Yeah. Oh, wow. I got a lot of questions.
And then K9 is Richie's favourite companion, apart from Ace.
That's not true either.
It's true.
Leah's just
love
saying
that
because K9 appeared in an episode and I was like, I got like a wee bit emotional.
Are you more jealous are you more jealous of the robot dog or Ace?
Good question. probably not really jealous of either of them.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. But K9 did. The appearance of a robot dog made Richie cry.
It wasn't like a cry. I didn't like burst into tears or anything. It was just...
You're very emotional, my love.
Like a whimper?
Hiding his face, wiping his tears.
That's very sweet.
We watched when we were watching Picard.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they Leah was obviously Leah's just watching this stuff and she's not thinking anything, but then when they all get
not thinking anything. I've
just been here not thinking about like
the significance
of what's happening. And they all go and they sort of there's a
spoiler
bit.
alert for anyone who's not watched Picard.
Yeah, I mean if you've missed this then I don't know. But anyway, 3/4 way through the series, it's like we need to get a ship, and then Geordi's like, "I've got a ship, actually that you guys are going to want to see.
I've got the
He's fixed the Enterprise D, and then when the lights come on in the Enterprise D, and then they all walk onto the bridge, and it's the exact same set.
Wow.
And I was like,
Richie lost it, but all he said was. It's got the Enterprise carpet. And then just burst into tears.
Yeah, it was very emotional. But I remember, when Leah noticed, it's funny when Leah notices because it will go for a wee while before she catches me, and then she'll go, "Are you all right?"
Quietly sobbing at the carpet.
Yeah.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Hey, we're not talking about Star Trek,
I'd love to do a Star Trek podcast.
No, it's not time for I Love Star Trek. It's time for
I Hate Doctor Who.
There you are. Now come along, Doctor. You're supposed to be in the sick bay.
Am I? Don't you mean the infirmary?
No, I do not mean the infirmary. I mean the sick bay. You're not fit yet.
Not fit? I'm the doctor.
No, Doctor. I'm the doctor, and I say that you're not fit.
You may be a doctor. But I'm the doctor. The definite article, you might say.
Look here, Doctor. You're not fit.
Not fit. Of course I'm fit. All systems go.
Obviously, there's going to be a couple of things. You're kind of thrown into the middle of a situation. Mm-hmm. I realise that as well. But I figured, I'm sure you'll pick it up.
Thank you for believing in us.
Thank you very much.
The opening, you see John Pertwee fading off and he turns into Tom Baker.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what are your initial thoughts watching all that transpire?
I wrote down, I love the montage of him trying on different outfits.
Oh, yeah.
That felt very kind of like rom-com-y. I was like, oh, has he chosen this? Because it's the girls. And so I thought, like, I don't like to admit this, but I had recently been watching the Sex and the City movies in the background while just like cleaning in my room, and there's a montage section in that, and it made me think, oh, he's kind of like Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, they were so ahead of their time.
They
knew what the girlies wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, this is one for the girlies. You know, like, is he like a medieval knight? Not the vibe. Thumbs down from everyone in the room. Do I have a big long scarf? Yes, girly, that's your look. Slay.
Oh, yeah, I love how the Brigadier's like, yeah, that's fine, let's go with that. But also, he clearly was looking at the other outfits and going, "Nah, man."
No. The clown one, the little sad,
the sad,
sad
clown.
Mime clown,
and the kind of Alice in Wonderland one as well.
Oh yeah, that there's so there was three references to Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
Was there three? What was
yeah.
the... Because there was the one at the end when he says... Yeah,
the curiosity...
Curiouser and curiouser.
Curiouser. And then there was one... with the cards.
Was that an Alice in Wonderland reference?
Oh, what did he say? And I was like, I'm sure that's from Alice in Wonderland.
Well, we'll never know.
So, we'll need to ask Big Tegs.
Big Tegs. He's dead.
What?
He's dead.
I know. I'm sorry, my love. I have thought... So, you can tell... Everyone hates the scarf on set. The most impractical thing ever. See when he's jumping over the fence and it almost gets stuck. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone hates it, and I started to hate the scarf.
Oh.
It's funny because it's his first story as well. It's kind of funny watching it as his first story because Tom Baker is quite wacky, but he's a wee bit more wacky, I think, in this.
Oh, also, is Tom Baker the voice of the robot?
No.
Oh.
It sounds exactly like him.
Oh.
Although, I put a note, for the first time that you hear the robot, a robot has big Mr. Freeze energy. Because he sounds so much like him. And I can, and that, but then he becomes more Welsh as it goes on.
Well, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
He sounds like, he's, I can't remember what he says, but he's just basically like, he sounds like Mr. Freeze.
Right, okay. I'll need to listen out for that next time.
I have a couple of things to say about Mr. Doctor. So we have the Doctor, and then we have Mr. Doctor.
Oh, Harry. Mr.
Doctor.
So that's Harry.
Is the Lieutenant Doctor.
It's very confusing to
very,
have two Doctors.
Very confusing. Also, Mr. Doctor, he can't be very good because he didn't even know that the Doctor had two hearts.
I know, it's funny they sent him in to be like, "We look after him." Oh, by the way, he's an alien.
Yeah, he's not got a clue. Here he is. Didn't even know that he had two hearts. And also, I think there's that.
He must have been new. Well, because that's Harry's. So Harry's are in it for a while.
Yeah.
But that's his first episode. So I'm assuming that he's first day on the job and some stuff's happened and he's been thrown in.
I really liked that kind of. I felt that's like a real like subplot going on. Like the friction building between Mr. Doctor and the Doctor.
Right.
I wrote down Mr. Doctor hates the Doctor.
He doesn't hate him. He's just a bit taken aback.
I didn't like the episode.
Okay.
The first one.
Just like that's me done for this interview. I didn't like it.
Won't be saying any more.
No, I will. Look.
I mean,
I've got. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't even. Yeah, I put my unit figures on the table. So Benton and the Brigadier's looking straight at Leah while she's like, "I didn't like it."
I just didn't like that one, like the first part.
Oh, okay.
I have some more notes as well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's more on the girly theme. Yeah. I wrote Sarah Jane's purple outfit, love heart.
Oh, yeah.
And Hilda Winter's girl boss.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, this is... So, I was speculating with Finlay earlier, chatting a bit about the episode,
mm-hmm.
and...
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure how many like strong female characters are generally in Doctor Who, or
right,
if you picked
okay.
this one specifically because it's a girl boss.
You know, I didn't even that wasn't even a yeah, but okay.
But I mean, are there generally strong female
I
characters?
Think they
that's why you love it so much, as a feminist yourself.
I think it's like, you know, I'd be hard pushed to call a lot of them like strong. Like, they wouldn't be, by modern standards, good feminist characters.
No.
But by 70s standards, yeah. I think they were a wee bit more.
I'm giving you
I know you are. But, like, they tried to... You know, Sarah Jane was kind of... You know... Well, you saw Sarah... You watched Sarah Jane. But
well,
she was, like... She was, like... journalist.
Yeah.
Reporter, a journalist,
you know.
Sorry. A journalist... I'm just going to interrupt you there, Richie. A journalist who did not take one note... And
unlike
was,
yourself, yes. like in the existence of notes.
And was dismissed consistently, I think, and it's not to get on my big feminist vagina high horse here, but that is a very common thing in the old Doctor Who. They're either silly little girls or they're evil women.
No,
and Winters was an evil
both.
But this is what
was
I'm
an
saying,
evil woman.
What I'm saying was
it was a different
that...
time, was it? Sorry,
okay.
Richard.
Look, you're right. I've got nowhere to go with it. I'm not going to sit here and say these are great. This is great female representation.
No. I mean, and I also, don't think the male representation is that good either. Like, no. They're all quite wishy-washy and rubbish at their jobs.
Yeah, and also they hate old people. Old people are very easy to dismiss, is what I've written here. And also, men think they know best. Those are my four themes.
I do feel like it is funny that they still write it like that, but then sometimes when it serves the script, they do write it in the way that, like, the men are being dismissive and silly, yeah. And then the woman is like,
I fully appreciate that you have two women staring at you, forcing you to talk about this. We can fully appreciate it for what it is, so don't worry.
But I mean, also, like, those characters are definitely just written in to be, they're the ones who get in trouble and ask the doctor questions.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, but the one, I mean, I can't even, the funniest thing about doing this with you is, like, I can't be like, oh, but the next one is, and then you won't know who I'm talking about. But the next character is, like, they get, like, a sort of, they get this character called Leela in as the companion next, and she's great.
Is she the sexy one? Yep.
She's the... I was just going to say, she's the one that's like, you know, she's kind of the strong, she's like, I'm going to fucking kill everyone, anyone who looks at me the wrong way, giving it all, like, she's a fighter, and she's like, but then also they've put her in, like, savage rags.
Yeah.
So she's
sexy 70s rags.
Where did they find her? Like, did he go back in time? Was she
it
like
was
a
more
cave
no, she
person,
was
or?
She was she's kind of like, yeah, basically what happened was is that she is the descendants of a crashed spaceship, and they have, like, regressed into being more kind of primitive basically.
Okay, interesting.
So she's from the future, but she's
also from the past. Yeah. Wow.
It's a real Doctor Who plot. It's a real character. Why does
it's,
he?
It's funny because I'm not in any way qualified to talk about this.
Talk about what?
I'm sitting here, like, scratching myself.
I know,
like, I'm
you're
suddenly.
Very nervous.
I know.
Why does Doctor Who have a car when he has a TARDIS that can go anywhere?
Well, sometimes you just need a car. No, well,
why?
So the car came in when his TARDIS wasn't working.
Was his TARDIS not working when he was there?
So basically, all right, okay. So the deal is when basically the deal is that the previous Doctor started by being, he was banished to Earth, and
oh, so this is only the second ever Doctor.
No, is the Tom's the fourth,
right?
But the third Doctor started, like, it was kind of a soft reboot of the show, but he was like, he's been banished to Earth, he can't leave Earth, he's stuck in the same time, and that's how he ends up getting a job with this military organisation.
Oh.
That's why he's the scientific advisor. But then at some point the TARDIS gets fixed and he still hangs about.
Oh.
So the whole thing is like...
Yeah, I didn't realise that.
So, but in the first episode, he steals a car, but then he has to return it and they're like, we'll get a similar car, and that's how they end up with Bessie.
So quite a lot of it is set on that base.
Yeah, for a period of time, and this is the last episode that's set on that base.
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't think I would have enjoyed a lot of, like, the military life.
There was no space.
It's a good dynamic. I mean, I quite like the dynamic. You've got lots of different types of characters. You know, the Brigadier always wants to deal with things in a certain military way, and then the Doctor's there just messing about and, you know, being a messer and...
Being a messer.
Being a messer and generally, like, but also doing the right thing.
It feels very 70s British. I know, obviously, like, Doctor Who
it's
is like
that,
iconic British, but it really
That's
does
so insightful.
Feel very, like, 70s military.
Like Dad's Army.
Like TV of its time.
I know, but I think the thing about UNIT, like, to have military characters in it, again, it creates a tension because the Doctor doesn't want to solve things by blowing it up. And that's their response to practically everything.
Mm.
So there's just a constant push and pull, which is a bit of fun. But also you'll notice as well that all the soldier guys in the entire episode, none of what they did worked.
No, very unorganised.
Yeah,
no,
I
just mean in the sense of, like,
terrible. Like, see, like, the people
the
didn't
message...
even jump out the way of the road. Yeah. They're just like, what can I possibly do when this slow walking thing is coming towards me? Like,
I know. Well, yeah, I wrote down somewhere. Yeah, someone had plenty of time to get away.
I just, like, there's a lot of stuff written in that period of Doctor Who where it's kind of like, I mean, by having those characters there, and you know, this is how we deal with things, but look at how little it works. It never works, and the right thing to do is to kind of consider it and investigate it and deal with it the way the Doctor does, which is by messing.
I do like it. Like, there's like, do you know what? Be silly, be messy, have a big scarf, be sensitive. Those are the ways to deal with the big issues in the world. Because, you know, like, what's her chops? SJ. It's like bringing her sensitivity to the table. I mean, you know, obviously a major flaw in a character to show weakness. But no, that's a joke. I love her sensitivity. And so obviously that was a good thing. And then, I just assumed that they just, at the time, that those kind of fight scenes were revolutionary, I assumed, at the time.
Probably
even though
not.
They looked... Oh, right, okay. They were not good.
No, I mean, the only thing that was, on a technical level, something that you wouldn't have even thought about when you were watching it, but, like, the exterior scenes are shot on videotape.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, most TV was shooting exterior scenes on film.
Film.
So you'll notice, and used to be, if you watch a TV show, you know, when you watch a sitcom...
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we've got the studio, and then somebody steps out into the garden,
it's totally different.
It's always, it used to be like that, but they shot it on videotape so they could do the effects with the robot. But it creates a
really? I thought that was all real.
Create some good vibes, including the weird, like, we can get into that later, but the force perspective toy tank.
Oh my god, the toy tank.
I
literally just wrote, is that a toy tank?
I think I put that
it was
as well.
So small.
Love the scene with the tank. That was all around.
They didn't even try with that. They didn't even try. They were just like, we've had enough. This is episode 4. We're done. Right, let's get that. Breakout stars for me.
Mm-hmm.
Benton.
Okay, Benton.
Very lax confidence, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. To be
massively
honest,
in love with Sarah Jane.
I actually didn't know who Benton was. I think he didn't even...
This guy?
Yeah, I know, but until you show up to the talk for the listener, we've got the little... Do you call them toys? Have you got a different name? Figurine?
Toys, sorry.
Wants to call it a figurine.
Figurine.
Collectible.
We've got a little Benton... figurine sitting here, and I was like, oh, was that the man doctor? Because I couldn't think of another character. So you're saying that I forgot him already. And
the breakout star for me.
3 days ago.
I guess it was, like, he does play just soldier character, though, that's the thing.
He, like, holds a tray of 4 cups of tea for about 45 minutes while he's trying to solve something, and he's just holding a tray. Put it down. But he's waiting for an order. He's a very good soldier.
Wow, good soldier. Interesting.
But lacks confidence. Mm. I think can't make decisions, and is in love with Sarah Jane.
But he's he's a soldier. He's there to take orders, isn't he?
Mm, yeah, that is true.
So that was your breakout star.
That was
person
my breakout
that I
star.
Didn't notice.
I mean, Mr. Doctor also a breakout star, but I will forever call him
Mr. Doctor.
I like Mr. Doctor. I thought he was a lot. He seemed like.
He was
Cookie.
A lad. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was good.
He is good. I like when he turns up. They keep calling him James Bond, but then he turns up dressed as John Steed from the Avengers.
Who's John Steed?
Well, this was a reference that went right over our heads.
Do you know the Avengers?
Like the one, they did a reboot.
They did
was it Uma Thurman?
They did an Uma Thurman film in the 90s. But it was Diana Rigg and...
No,
okay.
I only know, like, the Marvel Avengers.
Yeah, I know.
Ah, very different one.
Yeah. You're so disappointed. Yeah, I know.
Joanna Lumley was in the Avengers as well.
Oh, lovely.
In the new Avengers.
I would have to say, actually...
Anyway,
that,
moving on.
This 4-part episode really made me miss having a house phone. I thought that was quite nice. They were always on the phone. And I miss, like, the feel of the big chunky, like...
Big cord.
Cord.
Oh, yeah.
And did like the rotary dial.
Did you enjoy the Brigadier's fucking enormous?
His giant
mobile phone.
Oh, yeah, that was
good.
Great.
That was very good.
I like how it was also just a walkie talkie.
The other weird thing about Doctor Who in this period, and that, like when they set stories with UNIT and, you know, present day or whatever, is they have an inconsistency in that sometimes it's meant to be set in the near future and sometimes it's present day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a continuity that just, you know, the continuity is a straight line, so they haven't actually... Sometimes they just forget that they're doing that. but they'll do like what, so the technology in so this episode is meant to be set in like the 80s even though it's filmed in the 70s but then sometimes they're filmed in the 70s so it's like they don't I think it's maybe
they're
later
doing the best they can Richard they're doing the best they can
yeah
but low budgets not a lot of investment
it's too much imagination
also, a lot of imagination like, happening yeah. You need to give them a break. All right, they can't invent
I'm also
future
just saying,
technology.
The other thing I was going to say is it's also not important in any way, but like they have this sort of weird like near future technology thing going on quite a lot of the time.
I also,
so they can just make up technology essentially and just be like, yeah. That's something that's just been invented in the 1980s.
I think that the Brigadier has a lot of legs, and why wasn't there any breakout series about the Brigadier? Or
that,
episodes?
I mean,
because obviously like his legacy has continued because Kate is now the head of UNIT.
Yeah.
So in like the modern day one, the head of UNIT, Kate, is the Brigadier's daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, she's great. She's like one of the best characters, and she's not in it enough for me.
That's who plays Kate?
Some blonde lady.
Redgrave. Jenna Redgrave.
Okay, I shouldn't have asked her to play
this. Okay, right. Anyway.
Great. So
you'd recognize her. She's quite famous.
Is she?
I don't know.
I only know her from Doctor.
I feel like I've seen her in a period drama or two.
There it is. No, the Brigadier has a big legacy because his first appearance, that character's first appearance is in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And he's in the
same
70s.
Same actor.
He was in it 60s, 70s. He did three stories in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like a weird spin-off film about him in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. So there was a spin-off.
Just like a very brief thing.
Michael Sylvester loves him.
And then he came back for the Sarah Jane Adventures in 2000 and just before he died.
Why is she like the holy grail of all of the companions?
I mean, is that question not answered by watching her?
You're sick, aren't you?
I'm just saying.
No, but I'm just asking, like, why?
I don't think. No, you know what?
I don't think she's specifically elevated,
but she does. It's just that she was in it at such a special time.
Is she like a babe? Is she like the pinup companion?
I mean, like they all are. Most of them are. She came at it. She had like a good chunk of time with John Pertwee, and she had a good chunk of time with Tom Baker, and it's like a whole period of the show that everyone's like, that's the one. You know, like that's considered like the golden era.
And she's Bonnie.
She is Bonnie.
But also, yeah, she's just a good character. And she's really nice.
She's a good character.
They brought her back with David Tennant as a sort of, because they wanted to do a story to bring back, and I think she just seemed like the most suitable.
Same actress.
She died recently though, didn't she?
Oh, did she?
It was a while ago now. But she did, and then she got a spin-off show on CBBC.
With K-9.
And she got, no, K-9 no. wasn't that, no. So, and then she did like 4 seasons and then she died.
Aww.
And it was, there's a really sweet, oh my god, it's a killer, but there's a documentary on one of the Blu-rays, like a feature-length documentary about one of the Blu-rays, and I forgot about this, but like, the period after she left Doctor Who, I think she went back to being a teacher or something, and like, her career wasn't, in terms of being an actor, didn't really go anywhere,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because a lot of those actors in the 70s, it's just jobs, and then they kind of just get kind of quietly forgotten about it, but then she came back, and then they gave her own TV series, and then like, when she died, there was this flooding of like letters from kids.
Aww.
And I'm like getting emotional talking about it now, but like I remember seeing this montage of like just the kids. I can't remember if it was the actors or presenters or whatever reading just endless amounts of kids reading about how much they loved the actor, and it's just like such a nice ending to her story.
Hello, Sarah Jane.
It's you. Oh my god, it's you, isn't it? You've regenerated.
Yeah, half a dozen times since we last met.
But her TV show, she got to do an episode with David Tennant, and she got to do an episode with Matt Smith.
And it's her and her grandson.
So the son is, like, she never had kids, and then this kid is like an alien boy.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
She kidnapped him.
Oh.
No, she's looking after him. Anyway, yeah, I
For
mean...
Who?
I,
Who is she looking after him for?
For him, he's a child.
I know, but did his parents ask her?
I can't remember.
Okay, I love how much you hate us asking questions.
I know, sorry. I don't hate you asking questions.
We're just this is like the episode. We're just innocently asking questions. And you'll be like, shut up, I'm going to do it this way.
I want
to bring some whimsy into it, even though you want to just get answers to things.
I just hate when I can't answer the question. That's the problem.
It's fine. Part two.
Part two. So we spent the whole part one, we didn't get to see the robot, which was the suggestions of the robot. And then
I thought we did at the end.
We got to the end of part one, that's when the robot comes out.
So it's just like, oh, he's got big feet. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Big square feet, big, like, giant
claws.
Claw things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We know that he can dig underground. Was that not in that
one?
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Was that in this?
Because he talked about being like useful for mining and all that sort of stuff as well. So he digs up through the ground. I mean, that's quite good because the thing about part one is they got to have him do all this impressive stuff, but because they didn't want to show him, they could be like, well, cut away and cut back. And now there's a big hole in the ground and he's stolen the...
Mm-hmm.
We've
established that...
disintegrator gun.
No one is taking Sarah Jane seriously. And I don't mean that as like a funny statement. That's just generally nobody is taking her seriously.
Right.
They're all like, well done, little Sarah Jane, on your job. Oh, go back to work. And then Winters and Evil Bald Man, whatever his name is, he could have been a breakout star, but I don't remember him.
Wait, the scientist who makes him or the...
The gingery
assistant guy.
Because
there was that... I thought girl boss moment when SJ goes in and she's like, hello, you must be the head, and Hilda's like, actually, that's
I didn't
amazing.
Expect yeah. I didn't expect what was it, male chauvinist attitudes from you.
Yep.
Well, turns out Winters, you're a fucking bitch.
Yeah, I was like, you are, it's like total Thatcher just being like, wow, you're just really setting a bad example for the rest
of us. Exactly.
So thanks, Hilda.
We're both total boss babes. I'm disappointed by
Totally. I was like, Sarah, do your job better. Although the girl never sleeps.
No.
I didn't see her sleep once.
Or write an article.
Or
well, I happened off screen, I think.
Yeah, she's not a typewriter in sight. Like, a journalist is dedicated to telling stories.
It's the 70s, though. You could live for a month off one article.
Yeah. And you probably just, like, ring some girl and just say stuff over the phone and she types up for you.
Yeah.
I've seen Mad Men.
But that's probably Sarah Jane's job.
You run to a phone booth. I got a story that's hotter than a hot tamale.
Type it up, Joni. Let's go. I did write down at one point, Richie loves Sarah Jane. Sarah Jane loves the robot.
And then
I wrote, SJ is a dick, actually. She did break an entering.
She's doing her job. She's an investigative journalist.
You don't need to commit crimes.
I think you do, to uncover the real truth.
How
do you think Piers Morgan got to?
Oh, God.
Right.
Hacking the robot.
Part two, I'm going to have
mince pie.
Oh, because that's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
Christmas episode.
No, I'm okay. I've had a...
Christmas time.
Quite a few mince pies already today.
What is your purpose, your function?
I am experimental prototype robot K1. My eventual purpose is to replace the human being in a variety of difficult and dangerous tasks.
What are your thoughts on the think tank that is introduced in part two?
The think tank, which turns out to be...
just two
scientific
people.
Scientific reforms. Just two people. Oh, that's right, because the think tank is separate from the group, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, the think tank. Yeah, I'm sure there was more. There's probably more people working. You just didn't see them. There's a lot of things in Doctor Who you're like, that was happening, you just didn't see it.
It's all just imagination.
Yeah, you got to use your imagination.
I love how there was like this big think tank and it was just two evil scientists running around a country manor.
But it did plant the seed of thinking about a tank, and then later on a tank turns up. So I think it was just a bit of foreshadowing for just to be like the think tank.
Think about a tank right now. Picture it in your head.
And then don't worry about it
don't worry
like
about
two
it when
more
you,
episodes.
No. And then when you see the tank, keep imagining a real tank.
Think tank.
It does sound like a 70s kind of safety message, doesn't it? Think tank.
I don't really understand what happened with Kettlewell.
Kettlewell.
The scientist.
Stereotyping.
I really enjoyed Einstein. I really enjoyed him in these insanely thick glasses.
Yeah, they were very good.
He must have had a terrible time. Like,
yeah, he definitely didn't need them.
It was a good. He was a proper like doing the big blinks and looking up, like, because as a man who's just been forced to wear incredibly thick glasses.
Yeah, he looked mad.
Yeah.
What was his deal? So they were saying that he. So he left, but then also. Spoiler alert, he hadn't left them. No, so why did they create that story that he had left?
Oh, I hadn't interrogated it that much. I hadn't asked those questions.
Yeah, like why even set it up like that? Because nobody was investigating them.
To like give the plausible deniability to give them an out, maybe?
Maybe.
I mean, maybe he did disagree with the robot being... Because he didn't like that they were using the robot for killing. And it was driving the robot crazy. Because also he had that sort of robotic law thing where he couldn't kill humans.
The prime directive, is that
Yeah.
I thought that was just a Star Trek thing.
No. You know, do you know about the laws of robotics? Asimov's robotic laws.
Do you know about them?
Yeah.
Okay, go on then.
It's just a thing that comes up in science fiction a lot, but I think it came, I think it comes from iRobot. I think the book was iRobot, not the Will Smith film.
Did Will Smith do a song for iRobot? Because he normally does songs.
I don't know.
What?
Did he do like a Getting Jiggy With It?
Do you think he was doing the Little Britain Dennis Waterman where he, every time he goes, does a film, he's like, I can do you a theme tune. Like,
No, you're all right, thanks. No, don't need that.
Sorry, Will, no, it's fine.
Just imagine him like doing a wee dance with all the robots.
Just doing like robot dance.
Yeah. Just jive with me. Take a walk with me because that's the prime directive. You can't kill me. Is that it? That's prime directive.
Yeah,
I've explained the law of robotics through song.
I'm gonna have to Google it so I get it right.
And interpretive dance.
Yeah, but the podcast, the people listening can't see the amazing.
That
dance
is true.
That
there is no video for all the listeners. Richie is just googling the law of robotics.
Just so I get the wording right.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
So the laws are: a robot may not injure a human being, or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. A robot must obey orders given to it by human beings, except where orders would conflict with the first law. A robot must protect its own existence as long as its protection does not conflict with the first or second law. That's the laws of robotics.
Do you think that they had the laws of slavery that were very similar to the laws of robotics?
This is
why I don't want you on the podcast.
Like, because a robot's a robot.
Mm. Is it?
Well, I heard the way you spoke to Alexa earlier.
But back, you know, slaves weren't people.
And, you know, I think as we've all learned...
From Gladiator 2.
But also, right, at this point, robots aren't real either. So, not like, well, they are real. I suppose robots are real.
Alexa, are you real? She said I'm totally real. Thank you.
We have this ongoing argument about how I talk to Alexa.
Yeah.
And I'm still like, I'm particularly aggressive to it. It's just...
To it!
It's a fucking button. It's a talking button.
Alexa, close your ears.
Alexa's not real.
You're so wound up.
It'd be like if Leah went about fucking thanking the doors.
You don't thank your doors?
Do you not thank the house sometimes?
Do you know what?
Opening the cutlery drawer, thanks for keeping these for me.
No, but you should be grateful for the house.
See, during the summer we went away to a little hut. Well, it's nicer than a hut, but a little lodge, and had a couple of days up on holiday there, and when I left I made a very deliberate point of going, thank you, hut.
Yeah.
When I left. Do you want to do that?
I get it, but I'm talking like, you know, it's one thing to appreciate things in your life, all right? Mm-hmm. But it's another to say fucking thank you to
A robot who's turning on the telly, who's turning up and down the volume, who's putting on the radio, who's telling you the time, who's telling you the weather. Huh?
Okay, saving you valuable seconds.
It's valuable, yeah.
You could be watching more Doctor Who's with those seconds.
Yeah.
Do you know what's interesting is that this episode was so bad that we can't find anything to talk about of the episode.
I don't know if I thought it would. Oh, this episode. Oh, wait a minute. This particular one, number two. Yeah. It wasn't great, was it? The only note that the only note that I took was Professor is such a well cast scientist. What says IMDb?
Casting excellent.
Because I thought, oh, I wonder if he's in like good. Other. I know,
it's mad to be
things,
like you are a mad scientist. Like looking at him, looking at his hair, and being like. But also, you take the glasses off him and cut his hair. He's probably just a normal looking.
I mean, at first I was like, is that Salman Rushdie?
Imagine.
Well, do you know what? He turned up in Bridget Jones. So, do you mind that? Ah, because in the first film, where she has to do her little speech, and then she talks about the book, because she worked for a publisher, being like, oh, this is the best book we've ever published. Uh-huh. And she's like, apart from you, Mr. Rushdie.
Yeah,
and then,
isn't it, like, sometimes I don't wonder why I want to be, why I want to work in publishing or be a career person when our entire lives, the only women we ever saw on telly worked in publishing. Do you not think?
Did what?
In like films and stuff, like all the big films, everyone worked in publishing.
Oh, like 13 Going on 30, she worked at the magazine.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Ugly Betty.
Bridget Jones, Ugly Betty. Devil Wears Prada.
Devil Wears Prada, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, she was thought she was too good for
Baby Boom. Didn't work in publishing, but
no, she didn't. She make
she worked
sauce?
In
that was at the end of the
advertising.
Yeah.
Hello, you know it's awfully good of you to allow this visit, Director.
I hadn't expected male chauvinist attitudes from you, Miss Smith.
I'm sorry.
I'm the director, Hilda Winters. This is Arnold Jellicoe, my assistant.
Did you like this episode? What do you think about Robot?
No, are we talking about the four episodes or
the full package?
Mm. The full package.
Yeah.
How do I feel about Robot? I think maybe I made a bit of a rash decision on. Like, I maybe didn't think this through.
Did that not happen the last time that I was on the podcast as well?
So it's Laura's fault, actually.
It's because I was more thinking about, I wasn't thinking about you guys and I was thinking about. But, no, I don't mind Robot. I think it's it's a fine episode. It's a fine enough episode.
Oh, that's great.
I know. It's fine. Think, no, it's good. I wouldn't say it was a bad episode.
I think we've lost energy.
Is this so that...
a minute.
That you... So is it like you want to keep showing us... tepid episodes so that we keep coming back so that you never actually win us over.
Yes. So this is like, continue to hate Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's like, you know, if I show you a really good one,
like
then you'll
it,
be
converted. I
feel
converted. Like I wouldn't even describe it as tepid. I just, you know, I think, you know what it is, because I've just watched it with Leah. I watched it with Leah sitting next to me and now I'm a bit
I didn't say one word to you.
I know you didn't say anything to me, but I could... Like, every minute I'm watching it, I'm imagining you watching it as well. And I'm like, oh no.
I think it was an interesting choice because the regeneration episodes are never incredible because it's always closing a chapter on the previous Doctor.
Well, that happened in... But the other thing in old Doctor Who as well is just like, he's regenerated and we're off. It's like a minute. You know, whereas in the new ones, it's like, let's talk about what that means. How's he feeling? What's going on? You know, which is fine because that's what modern drama should be. It's just old Doctor Who is just very there's not a lot of emotional weight to things. No, we're not really deep diving into how anybody feels about anything. It's just mad adventures.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, a quote that I wrote down from episode 1 of 4. Was you must cultivate a sense of urgency, and maybe this is what it's like. Do you know what? Shut up about your feelings.
Oh yeah,
and go, and we gotta go.
And I think that, you know, maybe our parents' generation watched a lot of this, and that says a lot of being like, let's don't dwell, don't talk about things, just get out there and be a boss bitch or whatever you want to do.
Build
a big robot. Don't talk about it. Don't investigate your feelings. Don't interrogate anything. Just do it.
Just go.
And that explains so much. I think now we're in a better place where we talk more about things. And you know,
and that's just what we expect from our dramas as well, I suppose. Yeah, it's just different, isn't it?
It's just different.
The episodes are 25 minutes. I know we watched a 90 minute. I'm going to stop talking now, actually. I'm just digging myself into a hole here. I was going to say, the episodes are short. It's like, they're not exactly films, you know, in terms of production. It's very, like, light.
Yeah, but I feel like, what's it set up? The only thing that it's actually set up for the next season is that Mr. Doctor is a companion.
It doesn't. But this is again. You're looking at it through like a modern lens. It's not. What do you mean? What's the setup? It's not like the setup is that we have a story and then it ends, and then the next episode is a new story. Apart from the only thing that happens actually is that there's like a run of stories in this season where they don't have the TARDIS, and they're kind of just getting lost because the Time Lords pick them up. And they send them back to the beginning of the Daleks. And they're like, you need to stop the Daleks being created.
Oh, but they obviously didn't do that.
They didn't do that because basically he gets faced with a decision about blowing up the Daleks.
And his robotic...
And then he has a moment of like, do I have the right?
Oh.
You know, and then it's...
Wow.
That'd be cool.
But they have
Why didn't we watch that episode?
Because it's six parts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
But they have like a time ring instead of a, and that's as much as an arc as you're going to get, like, storyline wise. Even when they did like a series where every episode story in the series was about one thing, they were still just individual episodes, and then they would have a bit at the end where they're like, oh, we're dealing with this, by the way, because you couldn't tape it, you couldn't watch it again, you couldn't. It was like it was on and then it was off, and then you were like, I'm never, you know.
I did notice there was quite a lot of, although it was 4 25-minute episodes. Quite a lot of the start of it was just repeating what was at the end.
Yeah.
It was funny.
I was thinking this when I was watching it. It's like it's not normally as long as that. Mm. And I was like, oh, these episodes coming a wee bit short, did they? Because the fucking length at the start of the episode from the end of the last episode was. But yeah, normally there's a bit of an overlap where they're like, here's a bit of the previous episode. Because again, they didn't have previously on. It was just, we're here. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Mm.
It's kind of interesting to watch it because I was talking to someone.
Interesting's a word.
I was talking to someone recently who was saying that, like, I've been trying to watch just like, because I'm always trying to think of different ways to watch it. But it's like I've just been watching random episodes instead of watching stories,
like on shuffle.
Yeah, which must be weird.
That'd be weird, yeah.
But I guess when you've seen them 100 times, seen all of them, you know all of everything that's going on. I guess it's a. But it's nice to isolate episodes and be like, "What's this episode bringing? What's this episode bringing?"
What your answer is nothing. They're not related. So stop thinking about it, Leah.
No,
that was what you were saying earlier. So now you're saying that they are connected.
What? No. What I mean is like individual episodes, individual parts of a story.
Okay.
Oh, it's funny actually. I have just said all that, but like, yeah, each story was made up of parts that you had to watch week by week. So maybe I'm talking shite.
Interesting.
And moving on.
Episode 3,
what happened in this episode?
Alright, hang on. Oh yeah, I liked a bit when the massive strong robot struggles to get out of a door.
I wrote that down too! My favourite part is when he gets stuck in the door.
They must have just been like, oh, we haven't got the money to do this.
Just
take
keep going,
again.
Come
just,
on,
like,
come on.
It's funny.
Come on.
Sometimes you see someone like, did that just happen on set when the actor couldn't go through the door, maybe?
I also wrote their escape is so stupid. But I don't.
Oh yes, I know you're right. It is stupid because they've got. Is it Jellicoe? Is it Jellicoe? Is his name, wasn't he? And he's like shepherding the robot to the truck, and they're just being surrounded by guys shooting at them.
Yeah.
I just like, long scene shooting in the courtyard. I was like, what are you even doing?
What are you doing?
Proper like.
And I was like, shoot. I was like, I'm not a soldier, but I would shoot the tires on the van.
Yeah,
they were getting away, and I just thought, come on.
Surrounded by soldiers that just stood in one place and shot at them, and nothing happened.
It was so funny. And that scene went on for minutes of them just being like, oh no, they're getting away. And it was so, a door stopped him. You can, surely you can stop him.
Also, just shoot him in the knees. He's got knees.
I reckon if you ran at that robot,
he'd fall over.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's top heavy.
Absolutely. That's a man on stilts.
I guess the soldiers don't necessarily know, but we know from the POV that his eyesight is trash.
It's terrible.
Terrible eyesight. So you can, like,
you just gotta be really fast.
Yeah.
And he can't see you.
Yeah.
Or be behind him.
Yeah.
And he can't see it at all.
Just constantly stand by. And if he moves, just move with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to take about 5 minutes to turn around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kettlewell being evil.
Kettlewell
being evil, great twist.
I couldn't believe it.
That was a good
it.
Twist. I'm confused by it, but it was a good twist. Yeah.
I quite like this Scientific Reform Society, because it kind of... It was a weird thing of, like, when they were talking about it, it's like, God, have we just been dealing with these sorts of people
forever? Yeah,
because it's like, you know, you think of these people now, like, and they have a bit, just feel. I think they feel a wee bit more empowered now, but just sort of mad people that believe mad things meeting up in groups. And
Hilda would have been massive on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
she would. Her blue tick. She would be getting so much revenue.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She'd be a big mad turf as well.
But oh yeah, definitely. But I did enjoy Sarah Jane's comment. She said, "I'll put you between the UFO guys and the flat earthers."
Oh yeah,
yeah. I didn't like Sarah Jane in this episode.
You did?
I thought she was too. I thought bad journalist.
Yeah, like, bad journalist. She gets too invested.
She got too emotional. She got messy. I thought, because she was like, "Well, fuck you, you stupid little boys. I'm going to find another way in." I'm like, don't show your cards. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It just felt like they didn't really have a story for her.
What are you talking about? She had loads to do. Her whole thing was like...
Her whole thing was to be emotional and connect with the robot.
But she was the one that got through to the robot. Yeah. She was kind of the one that was like... She was the one person that saw the robot as a living thing. That treated the robot like it was a...
No. The scientist, the evil soul.
The scientist was just more... He treated it like an invention.
Yeah, he was a bit more functional, where he was like, I put in this data, so it does this. But she was like, but it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's a living man.
It's got a voice, so it's obviously a real thing. Sorry. No, you're right. You are right, actually, because the scientist was a wee bit... did have a bit of a fatherly vibe when he was...
Yeah, I wrote Daddy is Dead. Down here.
Okay, well, they kind of wrote him like as a dad, so they can have the Oedipus
a bit like thing. Geppetto.
Well, it was just a bit like Frankenstein's monster.
I thought you might like this
because you're a big fan of like gothic literature, right?
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, oh, Leah's gonna love this episode.
I really didn't enjoy it at all, which I'm surprised by. I genuinely am surprised by it, because every time you make me watch one and I'm like, oh, it's going to be terrible, I really like it. And I don't know what it is about. I think it was too...
Do you know what it is for me,
too,
actually, when I was watching
army.
It? The thing that when I was watching it, there was a couple of things that I thought, I was like, I hate when...
Oh my God, Richie hates Doctor Who.
No. I just like... Things like the toy tank, for example. The toy tank is a great example of watching, of seeing it and going, this is what people think Doctor Who is.
Mm.
Like, it's what people think old Doctor Who is. And then so,
it's true,
like,
it is.
And then, don't forget the robot carrying a little tiny...
The doll.
Oh, the doll!
That was my favourite thing ever!
Oh my God, the doll and the legs.
So there was a few... And like the big lumbering... like robot, like I think like old Doctor Who's got a lot of good character designs, but because of the tight turnaround, as soon as you put a guy inside that suit, whatever it is, and it starts wandering about, you're like, that's shite.
That's a man in a suit.
That's why you realise now, like, why all in modern films, when people have to play monkeys or whatever, you'll always see a video of like a gym hall full of actors and some mad person showing them how to walk about like a monkey.
Yeah, I think I just found the whole story just a little bit... I feel really bad because I feel like I'm really shitting on
the episode.
And I didn't expect to. I kind of expected to find, like, the last one that we did. Yeah, there was so many fun moments in it, and like, it was so much fun, like, just making fun of them in Paris, ridiculous, all that stuff. Whereas, like, I didn't get that. Like, this one didn't feel silly enough.
I know. Fun. I've made a mistake.
Choice,
I'm going to put my hands up here and say I made a mistake. But I think the problem is it's been a while since I watched it myself. But, like, it's funny watching it and seeing it from your point of view and being like, and realizing things like this Tom Baker's first episode. So there's a lot of like finding their feet in terms of how wacky and different he's going to be, because he's playing it so differently from the previous guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The previous guy's a lot. I mean, he does do humor and he does, like, you know, he can be funny, but he plays it a lot straighter, a bit more like he's the gentleman kind of doctor.
Also, there was no alien. He was the only alien.
I know, you said this last time, I should have brought you a spacey one, shouldn't I?
But no, but the other one was kind of spacey.
Because oh, there
still
was
like
an alien.
Yeah, like inside a man's body.
Yeah.
I'm still, she should have shot him in Paris, but anyway. But yeah, there was no alien, though. It didn't feel very Doctor Who, and I'm saying that as I know someone who's watched the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it just didn't. It felt like an episode of Dad's Army. It just felt too army-ish, and I feel like I'm being a bit low. I've got like a low ebb about it because I don't really have anything.
That's okay.
It seemed like there was quite a lot of just like standing around in it, just like the army. I think I just wrote army not very good.
Also
did a lot of just like, all right, well, I guess that's happening.
Yeah. I like how like the Brigadier was all about, we need to be secret, blah blah blah, and he's got a big fucking giant thing that says unit across his chest and then on the cars. It's like, what?
Also, I wrote a note, I can't remember exactly what it was. Was it getting into the think tank maybe? But Sonic Screwdriver, when that comes out and there's like a scene where he's like
turns
he's obviously like burning plastic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I just thought that, I wonder what the actors actually inhaled at that
point. Yeah,
because it did see. I was like,
it did look like he was burning it with like a little Bic lighter.
Yeah, I thought like, wow, that's.
I know that's the only time the Sonic Screwdriver's been turned into a lance as well. But he did use the. He even used the Sonic Screwdriver to blow up the mines. That was good. We're just like, let's just get some explosions in here.
Good. Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I felt sorry for the soldier that got stood on by the big giant robot foot.
Yeah.
Just a little.
He probably had time to get out of the way, though.
I love
he definitely
well.
Had time to get out of the way.
I know. I also love the thing when I'm watching it as well is like they established really early on that shooting that robot does not do a thing.
They continued to shoot
and
it.
And they just
for
spend the entire effort.
Minutes.
I think we'll just shoot them.
Exactly.
Actually, I think we'll just keep shooting them. Maybe this rocket launcher will help.
No.
The tank will, though. This will definitely help.
Yeah,
the little toy tank. Oh no, sorry, it's a toy.
I did like the Brigadier's line. It'd be like, one day we'll meet something that's not immune to bullets. Something like that. One thing I want to mention is that the growing effect.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
They didn't really explain that at all,
did
they?
I really enjoyed it. Oh, they said that he invented this metal that could grow.
So it, and
it's like a living metal.
Yes, yeah,
it was also the thing.
The energy
was, also,
was feeding it.
Oh,
basically.
So energy just made it right. Okay.
So it, when he shot it with a disintegrator gun, he had his big like, I'm going to sort this out this time.
Moment.
Oh yeah,
and he shoots
yeah.
it, and then it fucking grows because
actually, okay,
he fed
that
so much
make
energy.
Sense,
I also loved when the robot was holding the disintegrator gun, and like for everyone listening, it's like his wrist was broken and he was just like flopping around this gun.
Because I really
it was so bad.
What I thought that was going to happen was we were going to take off the
arm
and
like
replace
slot
it with the gun.
That was maybe too Dalek like. Because also when we were watching the first episode and we saw the POV, I was like, oh my god,
Dalek.
Is this a Dalek POV? I was like, this is going to be great. Even though I think the Daleks are. Not my. I was about to say rubbish, but I don't want people to try and kill me. They're not my favourite of all of the baddies.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, cool, a Dalek POV. This is great, but no, and it really annoyed me that the POV effect of like the diamonds or whatever looks nothing like the robot's face.
Yeah.
There is no indication that is a part of its face at all. So.
What did you think about the robot? Did you like... I liked the robot.
I thought he was quite nice, although he was misunderstood.
I thought so too.
Like
I
he
thought...
was very confused.
Yeah, it was just a poor robot that was getting manipulated.
Exactly. A little robot.
I was really sad when he got his robot virus.
Yeah.
That's such a shame.
I was sad.
I can't believe that you made us watch such a sad story.
I mean, obviously, you know, it's like riffing on like King Kong and all that.
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, obviously, when he picks her up on that,
and then puts her on the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would he even mention? Because that's so obvious that it's not even worth mentioning. Sorry. But you know what? But you have the same sadness at the end of King Kong when King Kong's like.
I've never seen King Kong.
All right. You ever seen the 80s one with is it Jeff Bridges? I can't remember.
Is he King Kong?
No.
Alright. I've never seen any King Kong.
Alright, okay.
Or Godzilla.
Oh yeah,
or,
I mean, like, there's Kong, a Peter Jackson King Kong. Godzilla. I forgot about that as well. It's like,
oh, with Naomi Watts and,
I never saw that one either. Is Jack Black in it?
I think is he Jack King Black Kong? Isn't it?
No, he's not King Kong.
Who plays King Kong in these films?
Is the King Kong's just a big monkey?
Andy Serkis.
Oh, so King Kong definitely.
Well, I think it probably is Andy Serkis for the Peter Jackson one.
So King Kong is, he's not someone who gets turned into a gorilla.
No.
Are you thinking of Planet of the Apes? Where that doesn't happen.
No,
either.
Don't get started on Planet of the Apes. Oh my god.
I only just started watching I haven't watched them all, but I watched the James Franco one, and I did not expect to get so emotionally invested.
Oh, it's
in
so
Caesar.
Good.
Did you
it's
not
so
think
good.
That they were all in space? We were watching that, so I've only ever seen one film, and we watched the James Franco one, and like halfway through I was like, when are they going to space?
You know, it was so annoying. Is like,
I knew nothing about
what was it for like, honest to god, and I mean years for most of our relationship, like, we should watch Planet of the Apes, and Leah's like, I hate Planet of the Apes. And I'm like, do you? She's like, oh, I just hated all those films, like, or, you know, and giving me all that. And I realise she just says these things to deflect me.
How many years was it before you realised that?
Well, so when we started watching, we started watching Planet of the Apes, the James Franco one. And she was like, so when did they go? And I was like, what are you talking about? When did they go to Planet of the Apes? And I was like, do you know anything about Planet of the Apes? And she went, no. I was like, what about, like, it's got one of the most well-known endings of all time.
Or even just that bit from The Simpsons.
The Simpsons!
That's what he said. He was like, what about The Simpsons episode? The reason I don't like it is because I've got a lot of memories of, like, not being allowed in the living room or not being allowed to talk or watch telly because my dad would be watching Planet of the Apes when I was really wee. So I'm just like, I fucking hate Planet of the Apes.
Fair enough.
But
King Kong it's not a fella that gets turned into a monkey.
Yeah, so is he just a giant monkey?
Just a giant,
a giant
monkey.
Gorilla.
It's a giant monkey that they find, from what I understand,
is it Monster Island? No.
And it's a big island. It's got a big face of a gorilla, handily. Or is it like Skull?
Skull Island.
And, danger.
I don't know a lot about King
Kong
lore.
And is he from planet and there's no crossover?
He's not from planet. Well, is he? I don't know. Maybe one day. There'll be a crossover.
There'll be Planet of the Apes where they just have one of the apes is fucking enormous.
Yeah.
Why not?
He is the planet.
We've got Kong in, by the way. This is going to turn everything in our favour. He's huge.
He's got mad POV, bullets can't stop him, and he can't go through doors.
But a mad scientist has developed an anti-monkey virus, so we better be careful with that.
I thought you were telling me the plot of King Kong. I was like, wow, this really is like this.
It's just like this. He keeps it in a bucket.
Oh my god, the bucket! Throwing the bucket! And they go back to fucking what's his face's house/lab, and they're just literally mixing coloured dye with like fairy liquid.
That's brilliant. That's great.
That's
come on.
That's your favourite part.
That was great. And like when he turns up, come on, when it's like been, you know, the whole thing's just been loads of guys with guns, like, and the doctor turns up in a fucking clown car with a bucket.
Just a little bit of paint. It's great.
The big pail, and he's like good. Slaps it over, and that's amazing.
It no, that great. That is the best part. That is so good, and it's very Doctor Who-esque.
It's pure Doctor Who, yeah.
But why couldn't he just use this? Oh, he couldn't use a sonic screwdriver on him because that would charge him up.
Oh, yeah,
what would
yeah.
his sonic screwdriver do?
I thought the sonic screwdriver can do anything.
No, that's fair. That's a
it
fair.
It can literally do. It's magical.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not
just
magical,
switch him off.
Yeah, it's like power him down.
I feel like the evil people, was it the scientists, what's it called, the Science Reform Society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They weren't very well organised, were they?
No.
Because
no.
The
even though they seem to have
like,
people all around the world.
Because they were just like, okay, we've set the codes, nuclear war will happen very soon. Tell me, oh, should we go and check if we've got any beans? And they're like, they didn't check if they had any supplies.
Yeah, they weren't. Also, How did no one see her hiding behind those, like that trestle table in the back of the fucking community hall?
Because the lights were off.
she's a great investigative journalist, that's why.
She was terrified. She could also see them coming for her for ages. when the robot
I love
came.
My favourite thing was when the robot comes off the stage and it's coming down the stairs and it cuts away for ages. And then it cuts back and the robot's at the bottom of the stairs.
Winters is a good character. She plays Evil Bitch quite well.
Mm. Yeah, she was good. She was
very, like, almost like maniacal.
Yeah.
It was quite fun.
But then I was,
why
was
are
funny,
all
sorry, I was gonna say the funny thing watching it was like the nuclear threat thing, the whole nuclear, I was like, I always forget about this because it's such a weird it's just an excuse. It's like, it's not a real threat, it's just an excuse for everything that's going on.
I mean, it's a threat in our time now.
It was not a threat then.
I don't mean that like nuclear war isn't a threat.
No,
I just
nuclear
mean,
denier over here.
I just meant in the story, it's not played. It's just
this
is going on. I did really like, I really loved the moment when the Brigadier's talking about the plan, how they're like, all the superpowers in the world got together and they had to give, they were like, so they've given all the nuclear codes and they need to find a trustworthy country. And of course, that's Great Britain.
The rest are foreigners.
But then the doctor says, of course. I mean, everyone else is a foreigner, aren't they? And then the Brigadier goes, well, yes, of course. And then there's that, he realises he's been led into it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I mean, that's self-aware. That's not...
No.
Professor Kettlewell? Yes, this is the doctor.
Doctor, you've got to help me. The robot has come to my house. I've got him hidden, but he's very unstable. I may not be able to control him. We must keep him out of the hands of those think tank people. They've driven him almost insane.
I mean, have you got more notes you want to talk about?
I mean, I wrote, nuclear holocaust, Merry Christmas.
I did write, I didn't like seeing the doctor's feet in part one.
Did you see his feet?
Yeah, I mean,
his bare feet.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a bit like, disconcerting. Very pale, very old man pale feet.
Yeah, Tom Baker's got quite a... He's definitely the sort of man where you're like, I don't want to see your feet. Not in a weird way, just in a sort of like, I bet your feet reek.
People out there definitely want to see his feet. I think we should probably, I don't know, like in the description, if you want to put down like a time code or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Just be like, by the way, if you want to see
his feet,
it's at, you know, whatever... Timestamp. This is
what did you make of Tom Baker? Just
me,
as a doctor who in general.
I mean, this is the thing, like, because I don't really have much to compare it against.
No.
And the last time I felt like I was deeply annoyed by David Tennant. And
I don't.
It
was
episode.
So funny. Is what I didn't realize, but when we sat down to record it, the first thing Laura said was like, "Oh, it's just I don't like David Tennant." I was like, "Oh, fuck, right." Okay,
which episode did you do?
It was the Kylie Minogue one.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kylie. But I was just, he just annoyed me. I was like, you're just so eager. I was like, just calm down a wee bit.
He's the world's nicest man.
I'm not saying David Tennant himself. I think David Tennant sounds like a lovely man.
Yeah. Okay, good.
From everything that I've heard, from people that I know that have met him, and just from stories, lovely man. I thought David Tennant in that episode you forced me to watch last time was very annoying.
Okay.
And I also thought that the doctor was quite annoying, but I quite liked the way, like, but also it's like the doctor or the British Army, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, these guys suck, and I like that he was sort of like, just I mean, Brigadier seemed nice, but I'm sorry, but he's the British Army, so I can't be a fan. Oh, and I think I wrote a note as well. That he fucks off in the TARDIS to get out of a meeting at the palace, and I was like, ally. You know, I was like, good for him. He's like, oh, you want me to meet the king or queen or whoever?
Nah.
I'm away.
See ya.
So I like that, and I thought that he was. Do you know what? He had a wackiness that I thought this is going to get real annoying, but I didn't mind it too much.
Okay.
I liked the scarf.
Mm.
Like that the scarf did. I know you hated the scarf, and I thought that's interesting.
No, you can't say that I hated the scarf because it's iconic.
No, but you just said that you hated the scarf. You found it annoying.
It's unruly.
But it's like its own. It's its own entity. Yeah. And I like the way that it was like, whoa, 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 and like doing things.
That it picked up that magnet.
Tripping people up. Mm. And I thought, great. Is that technically a companion?
No. The scarf.
Is the TARDIS technically a companion? Yes.
No,
it's his wife. TARDIS
is the longest standing companion. Mm.
So you've got like the TARDIS being a woman in your head from
that episode. That's my favourite episode.
But I think he was quite annoying, but I think that in a way that, you know, just he's like a cookie character.
Yeah. He's very sort of bohemian and very kind of like the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, the thing with the Doctor has always been like he's a bit bumbly and a bit thing, but that's all the sort of him being disarming to hide the fact that he's also in charge of the situation and getting
everything
done.
That's how I do it.
Yeah. I've got half of it down. Yeah.
What did you think, Leah?
I quite like Tom Baker.
Mm-hmm. You've done more of him though.
Yeah, I do quite like him. I find him quite authoritative, mm-hmm. but in like a nice, like in an interesting way.
Okay.
I think he is, for me, the iconic Doctor. Like, he's the Doctor that I obviously didn't watch when I was a kid, but he's the Doctor that I knew of, like, before we met. Yeah. Like, he is the Doctor to me.
Yeah, it's funny when you say he's authoritative, because he's, like, he's authoritative while being anti-authority.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's kind of a...
I think he's just very, like, commanding, and I don't mean that in a... I think, like, just as, like, an actor.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about Doctor Who is that whoever is playing the character always is like the main point of interest and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we watched an episode, a Peter Capaldi one yesterday, that was stinking. It was a terrible episode. But because he was in the middle of it being amazing,
yeah,
it was like, I'm still enjoying myself because he's here.
Yeah. mm-hmm.
But also, there's just little things about the character. Like, he inspires confidence in other people. He inspires trust. And it's just so many things about him that the way he's written, it's like he can never be too serious, but at the same time, people trust him to, like, they'll trust him with their lives.
Yeah, like he's not silly.
Mm.
It's like, you know, you get on a plane and a pilot does a little introduction and then they make a little joke and you're like,
oh, yeah.
You're like, do you know what? I respect you. I feel happy. Yeah. If I'm like, even though there's turbulence,
yeah,
you're gonna get
you're
me
still
too.
A person, but I trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, every actor's brought something kind of different to it, but I think, like, Tom Baker takes a lot from what came before, but it feels like he's, like, the archetype now for everyone else.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. Like, I see more of the Tom Baker character in, like, the Doctors that follow.
Yeah. Mm.
And I feel like you need to stop getting me on this podcast as someone who's never seen Doctor Who before. Because I obviously live with you, so I've been exposed to a lot of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I feel quite out of my depth right now. Because you guys are, like, talking about, the philosophy of Who, and, you know, is the TARDIS even an entity? And I'm just, like, nodding, being like...
The TARDIS is definitely an entity, and is technically...
A woman.
The longest standing companion.
Yes, so
because it is alive. Like, the TARDIS is alive.
Bring it back to things that I know about. A thing that I noticed that he seems to do, and I don't know if it was like a continuity thing or like a choice, he takes his hat off before he goes into like a scene, you know, quite a lot. Like, if he goes into...
He did do that a lot, yeah.
And I was just like, is that just them being like, the hat will fall off, it's dumb. And so do you think they made a costume, like a bad... costume decision? We're like, we've got to go with a hat now, but we realise how impractical it is.
Well, the hat did fall off in the very so obviously the outfit is the first scene of the hat, and then when he jumps out of the car, when they get the hat falls off, and he looks back and he's like, and then he keeps going. So yeah, he probably was just like, the hat is
stupid decision
fucked.
Yeah,
but that's me now.
And then every time I noticed he went into, because I think he noticed the car thing first, and then everything else, he was like, stop for a second.
And he kept giving his hat to the Brigadier. He was just like crunching it up.
Yeah.
Like a piece of paper. Then he'd put it back on and it'd be like, all messed up.
Is that something that continues throughout his entire
tenure?
I feel
like his hat is there, but I think eventually it just kind of
he doesn't wear it all the time.
No. But like I said, it's funny actually. It was funny watching it with you guys again, and suddenly coming up with this context of being like really thinking about the performance and all that sort of stuff. And it is interesting to watch that episode and be like, this is a guy who's thrown himself really into it because it's his first big famous role. Because like this is like the story about how he was like he got cast as the character. And then had to go back to work as a brickie.
Oh,
really?
For a while. But
is that why he keeps slamming his hand on the bricks?
Maybe.
Is that why he keeps like making cement?
Why he keeps rolling back?
And whistling at ladies. I'm wearing a hard hat. What's going on?
Like, that bit where he's wearing high vis.
So the story goes is that until he was able to go and do the job, he couldn't tell anyone, so he had to go back to work, and he was working on a building site, and then on the last day he was like, everyone read it in the papers that he was Doctor Who.
That's mad.
Which must have been mad. You just can't imagine an actor being like coming off a building site.
Just be like, right, see you.
Yeah.
Alice, what can I do to entertain you till my friend the Brigadier arrives, eh? A little song, eh? Little dance, perhaps? Not just a little dance? Anyone for cards?
Don't just stand there, you idiots! Get him!
Now for my next trick. I shall require the assistance of a member of the audience.
What did I like about the episode? I liked that it was early days of him. I like seeing him playing with the character and really throwing himself into it, really going for it, and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. I like it because it's a crossover. It's a very light crossover between the last era, which is John Pertwee, and Tom Baker's era, because we've got like a lot of Pertwee was working with UNIT. And then Tom Baker just disappears. Like when they get in the TARDIS and go off, we don't see the Brigadier until I think it's the next season.
Okay.
So we don't see him for a while, and then the next time we see him, that's his last before for like 10 years or something. So I like that. It's not an anomaly, but it's unusual because it's a bit of a we're still in the last phase, but we're moving into the next phase. And I like when the robot goes really big.
I just like that. When he carried her, that was good.
It was very funny to watch that. What did you say? I can't remember. You had a reaction because you didn't know it was coming. So when the robot got really big, you went, oh.
Yeah, I think I was just like, oh my god, that's a doll. I thought he was still holding it, but it was actually just a wee doll.
It's also funny me making this mistake of showing this.
It's not choosing a mistake,
I mean, like watching it. I mean, like I definitely could have chosen a better episode because it really is that phenomenon of like once you finish watching an episode of Doctor Who, what it becomes in your head is something almost completely different from what it was on screen.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched it for a while, you're like, "That's a great story."
I don't think you can bring me back as a guest for a third time. I think there might be.
Is this you saying I don't want to do this?
No, I would do it again with a better episode.
You love Doctor Who, is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, job done. I'll see you again.
Laura still hates Doctor Who.
No, I'm open to learning more. But
would you watch more David Tennant Doctor Who?
Maybe. Because, I mean, from what I could gather from the YouTube comments at the time, was everyone was like, why did you pick that episode, Richie? That's a stinker.
There's a lot of mixed opinions. Some people really hate that episode.
There was a lot
really
of sympathy for me.
Yeah.
I saw the Angels one, I think, just because. Is that your fave?
I love Matt Smith.
I never realised this until recently, but women love Matt Smith.
Yeah.
They really love Matt Smith.
He's tidy. But yeah,
Watching some Matt Smith then, if all the girlies are watching a bit of Smith.
He is a good doctor.
Okay.
You do fall in love with him like 400 times. Yeah, this is why I feel like I can't be a guest on this podcast, because I do actually really like Doctor Who.
That's okay. No, but that's why I'll only make you watch the old ones, because I know you don't.
Yeah, because I fucking hate them. They're rough.
Casanova? That reminds me. 1580. That's all right. Casanova doesn't get born for 145 years. Don't want to run into him. I owe him a chicken.
You owe Casanova a chicken?
Long story. We had a bet.
Let's round this up. What are we all saying about this episode then? It's a no from me.
It's a no from you. It's... Laura, you...
I thought it had heart. I really liked the robot, and I thought... Well, because I kept searching for A Christmas Story in it, because I was like, why is Richie maybe watch this? And I liked... You know, and I think just with chats about AI and things like that, and I just think, oh yeah, like, I really loved that humanity of the robot, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. how... And the doctor just fucking killed him. I loved how they explored that story, and then it was just like, yeah.
I know, if it was a modern episode, the doctor would have cried.
Yeah.
About killing the robot. But this one was like, it was a good robot. Then Sarah Jane's like, it's just really sad to be like, aye, no, you're right, it was.
But he's dead now.
Anyway, shall we go?
Are we going?
Where to? Doesn't matter. I think it could have been 3 episodes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Same as the last one. Remember, I was like, they didn't need that middle one. Could have been 3. Also, they just kidnapped Harry at the end. They didn't give him a choice about going anywhere. They just said, do you want to come inside and have a look?
Oh, yeah.
And then now he's away.
Poor Harry.
Yeah. I think
that's not fair.
He's having a nice time.
Is he? They want you to think he's having a nice time, but he's been kidnapped.
It's a nice. They got a nice dynamic in that season. Harry, Sarah, and the doctor.
Do Harry and Sarah get together? Are they not?
No.
Why is there nothing? Why is there nothing like that?
Absolutely.
No pumping.
No hanky panky in the TARDIS, as they say.
Is that what they say?
That's literally what they say.
I don't need hanky panky, but why is there no like love stories?
The love story is just the love of adventure.
Well, Laura, thank you very much for coming down, and thank you very much for watching the episode.
You are so welcome. That is your gift. That is your Christmas gift.
Merry Christmas.
And Leah, thank you very much for doing the same.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Please pick a different, pick better episodes next time. That's what I would say.
Yeah, Ben, I need to speak to my Doctor Who group chat and be the one. They haven't expressed any opinion on robot. I'll see what they say. But it should be fun.
I think we should all agree to call it Robot.
Robot. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Enjoy Christmas, Doctor Who, if you're watching it. If you're not, enjoy something else. Gavin and Stacey, I don't know.
Have a good...
Lawson Gromit.
2025.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody should watch the new Wallace and Gromit episode, because apparently they've run out of clay.
What? In the world?
Yeah, there's no more Gromit clay. So this will be the last.
What?
That can't
I like read an article.
I'm sure they'll find out.
They're not making any more. This is the last. Wait, which one's the dog? Is that Gromit? Or the,
yeah.
So there's no more.
No more Gromit.
How can you not?
How can they do all those other characters but not do Gromit?
They were just saying that this is the last Wallace and Gromit that they're ever going
to
make.
I'm going to have to verify this.
I'm going to verify it right now. Where did I see this?
You saw it on a TikTok, didn't you?
I think you dreamt this.
Every time Leah comes up with something like this, I'm like, did you read this in a news story or did you see it in a TikTok? Because there's a good chance it's bullshit.
Mm.
He's run out of clay.
The next Wallace and Gromit film is expected to be the last ever due to the studio running out of clay. The studio behind Wallace and Gromit, Aardman, is running out of clay because the company that manufactures it is shutting down. Aardman has said that they only have enough clay to make the next Wallace and Gromit film, which is scheduled to be released in 2024.
Can they just get a new supplier?
I don't know.
The boy that gives us the clay is... He's...
You just got a new job. He's Doctor Who now.
He's Doctor Who.
Well, there you go. Apology.
I'm sorry. I mean, I still don't believe it.
Need to verify it yourself.
Yeah. I'm going to need to see that with my own eyes, because that is the most insane thing I've ever heard. Not even to run out of clay. It's just the folk that send us the clay. There's no way, other way to get clay.
They obviously make this very special, specific type of clay that they've been using for however, what, fucking 30 years or something.
But why just Wallace and Gromit? Surely Aardman has to shut down because their whole thing is clay.
I don't know.
Yeah, and on that bombshell...
Yeah, nothing lasts forever. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Enjoy Happy New Year.
Bye. Say bye, Laura.
Bye.